This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
My request would be that a determination on whether or not there's a voir dire of Lieutenant Wing abide the motion in the discussion with regard to Dr. Crosby. So in conclusion, Your Honor, we respectfully request that the court deny the request of the Commonwealth to have a voir dire hearing on Lieutenant Wing. At a minimum, wait for that determination until the court reads the report of Lieutenant Wing.
Right.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. All right. So there's also a motion for reconsideration regarding Dr. Crosby. I can tell you regarding reconsideration, I've found that he is an expert. I am not going to reconsider whether or not Dr. Crosby is an expert. I'm not going to reconsider whether he can testify as something is consistent or inconsistent with dog bites. But Mr. Brennan, I don't see how you're going to have him testify as to whether these marks could have come from Chloe, the specific dog. I think that you can certainly talk about measurements that may have been made, but I don't see how he can testify that this either was or was not this particular dog, particularly in light of the most recent National Academy of Science report that found that no evidence of an existing scientific basis for identifying an individual to the exclusion of all others via bite mark evidence. So what do you want to say about that?
Your Honor, there's a distinct difference between inclusion and exclusion. The National Academy of Forensic Science was an extraordinary study, well-respected. I've read it many times. And that is a consensus among experts that teeth structure can in many ways be similar. So it is unfair to conclude that a particular person or a particular dog should be included or identified as the person who left that particular pattern. I agree with that wholeheartedly. It is different in kind and not within the realm of that study or any other studies that I've seen to exclude
a person or a dog as the contributor of that bite. And here, there is definitive evidence to clearly show and base an opinion that the dog named Chloe was not the cause of those wounds. That is the whole purpose of having the mold of Chloe, which is done with humans routinely, often orthodontist, dentist, restructuring. The spacing itself is so distinguishable between the molds and the spacing on Mr. O'Keefe's arm. It is an objective, a specific, and a substantive basis to draw a conclusion that there is no way, to a degree of certainty, that these wounds were caused by Chloe's mouth. In particular, Dr. Russell had opined not only that the bites were consistent with a dog wound, but she also opined about molars in different parts of the mouth. And since the defense has decided to likely identify particular teeth and structures as the basis to say it's comparable, consistent with a dog, we should be able to counter that in rebuttal, not in our case in chief, in rebuttal that these molds show to a reasonable degree of certainty that these wounds could not have been caused by Chloe. So it's exclusion, not inclusion.
It's an uphill battle for you, I'll tell you that. I'll hear from Mr. Lewis.
Thank you, Your Honor. I can go through this quickly. The National Academy of Science, the 2009 report Your Honor's referring to, there is no finding in that that exclusion's okay, but inclusion is not. There's nothing in there to support that proposition. That's number one. Number two, with regard to the opinion of Dr. Crosby, he did use a mold, but he didn't use the overlay. In the NAS, I'll shortcut it, 2009, the only way you even get to discuss it is you have to have the mold and the overlay. Dr. Crosby doesn't have the overlay. So even not considering the first point I made, where you that's allowed for humans, you need a mold and an overlay. So there is no basis in science for the proposition that with certainty this could not be Chloe. So in sum, the inclusion-exclusion distinction that Mr. Brennan tries to make is nowhere rooted in the NAS study. And the point that Your Honor made and that we have made consistently is that there's little difference between inclusion and exclusion when you get to the methodology that's employed. So we, Your Honor, would support what Your Honor's question comment was in the beginning, and that is there should be no discussion with regard to Chloe on inclusion or exclusion basis. Thank you, Your Honor.
Did you want to reply?
I would simply suggest that there is no authority that I'm aware of that prohibits exclusion, none. And as a predicate, and I know it's a side matter, the idea of Chloe as a predicate that requires third-party culprit. And so before there could be discussion about that, there would have to be an offer of proof that we have not seen and has not been presented. So it really should be irrelevant. But if the defense is going to try to bring it up, it's going to become a live issue. And if we have an obligation or we have a need to rebut, we want to fully rebut any of those claims.
Okay, which is why originally I was going to hear this motion to reconsider after the defense presented their witnesses. So, all right. Thank you. The substitute chemist. Is there any objection to the substitute chemist? It's Commonwealth's motion 663.
No, Your Honor.
Okay. So, Jim, 63 is allowed?
Yes, Your Honor.
So you both have motions that are similar regarding it's the Commonwealth 669 and Defense 670, I believe. It's about the audiovisual aids and giving notice. So you're both in agreement to give notice to the other side before you use anything, and have you done so with regard to openings?
Commonwealth agrees to give notice. We've provided a number of clips of statements that we seek to use during the trial. I hope to narrow the ones that we're going to use specifically so the defense could have more notice of it. We have a clip that we'd like to offer in the opening. I'm not sure if our office has provided that to the defense. If not, we'll do that shortly after the hearing.
Okay. Who's arguing this for the defense, or who's telling me what's going on?
Your Honor, we're happy to provide notice. We have not yet received the particular audio clip that the Commonwealth intends to use during opening, but we're happy to provide any visual aids that we intend to use as soon as today.
All right. I'd like to see what you both intend to use in your openings, because whether you agree with it or not, I have to make sure that it's admissible, that I know it will be coming into evidence before I let you put it up there.
That really is the most.
Just for the court, the Commonwealth will provide a copy to defense. That's
okay. Thank you. Can I have the defense what you intend to put up?
Just a single photograph, Your Honor. I'll provide it to the court immediately after the hearing.
Okay.
Your Honor, I'll add that there are a number of statements that we have clipped. We, with the court's permission, would like to provide an entire package to the court so you can have an opportunity to view if you wanted to.
Thank you. So I need the defense to look at this before the end of the hearing, because I don't want to bring everybody back tomorrow if you object to what the Commonwealth intends to put in their opening. Did you tell them what it is? Like, is it something that they already have?
They've had the materials, the interviews in total, but we've clipped the pieces that we want. It's been an ongoing process. I understand my office has sent a slew of those clips to the defense.
Okay.
I want to narrow it down. We're not going to use all of them unless there's a rebuttal portion, but I want to narrow down what we've given them. But we've been over-inclusive in what we intend to provide.
The Commonwealth provided at least 44 clips. I'd ask for whatever they intend to actually use in their opening so we can look at it for...
I think that's what they just said they're just going to give
we'll
you.
We'll give them the file name, and if the court takes a recess, we'll give them the file name.
I'd like to do that just in case there's an objection. Or I can bring you all back tomorrow or Friday, and I don't really want to do that to you. So,
thank you.
All right, so we'll just take a look at that. Okay, so that sort of also covers, I guess, the Commonwealth's motion regarding the use of extrajudicial statements. And if you hang on while I grab that. Is there an objection to that motion?
No, Your Honor.
Okay.
Can I make a note?
Yes, please.
The defense, I'm sure, is aware, but I want to point out as part of that motion, we're asking to have an independent reader, someone who is not an officer or involved in this case. I don't expect there'll be any emphasis or drama in the presentation of text messages, but I think an independent reader is fairer, more objective, and we'd like to have that independent reader take the stand at times throughout the case when we want to introduce certain text messages that don't involve a participant.
All right. How are you going to find this person?
Well, we could have somebody playing close from the state police, or we could find somebody that's agreeable to the defense, but I think it would be best if we have an independent reader who's available throughout the trial to play that role.
Okay.
May I have a moment, Your Honor?
Yes.
Your Honor, thank you for the time to consult with my colleagues. I don't think we're in a position to agree or disagree at this point. I don't know exactly which text messages or which conversations are intended to be independently read. At the last trial, they simply came in through the person that found the text messages. They were Mr. Lally asked, I think Mr. Guarino, I can't remember his first name, Mr. Guarino to recite the messages from both sides, and that was done pretty effectively and expeditiously. But unless I know more about exactly what the theater of having an independent reader is going to be like, I can't really weigh in.
Go ahead.
May I?
Yes.
Wherever there's a witness involved in the conversation, if those text messages are admissible, it would come in through the witness. Text messages between Mr. O'Keefe and the defendant, there is no author of those. And so we will introduce those text messages, the admissible ones, at different parts in the trial when they become relevant. So it's not sufficient to simply have a state police officer who is not a witness to those text messages to come in and read them continuously through the trial. Mr. Guarino is an independent witness in this case. To bring him back regularly as a police officer, I think is creates the wrong impression. I think objectively we can have somebody come in who simply reads those text messages when they're appropriate to introduce.
I would disagree gently with Mr. Brennan. That's exactly what the proper protocol is. If Mr. Guarino is the one who found, he's a state trooper, he found the text messages. He was the one who downloaded the data. He was asked about those text messages previously. I think having him come back, and it doesn't matter how many times he comes back, he's paid by the state. He can come back five times or one time. But to have somebody else come in or other individuals come in to act as readers, I think that is not in keeping with the ordinary course of presentation of the evidence. It just doesn't make sense to me to have a reader come in. It seems to add a theater to the text messages that are inappropriate. I don't know who these individuals would be. And the text messages are admissible because they're, one, they're statement of a party opponent, and the other is the context of the statement of the party opponent. So I don't see any reason to change the protocol that we had last time.
All right. If I were to allow an independent reader, do you have a male and a female? Or would it be a male reading of female's responses?
I haven't identified anybody, but I can get a male or and a female.
All right.
And that's exactly what we don't want. I think that's inappropriate. It's not going to be Mr. O'Keefe, and it's not going to be Ms. Reed. The text messages speak for themselves. The jurors should be able to analyze the words that are on the page, the text messages as they were written and drafted, not the inflections and the repartee between two independent people with motives that may or may not be consistent with the text messages. As we all know, it's a very, very different circumstance to have a text message communication with someone and have a conversation with someone, for instance, telephonically or verbally. People talk about it all the time. Things get lost in text messages. Having them read by a state trooper who found them.
So it can be perhaps not a state trooper. That's all. I understood it to be to take out all infliction and completely that.
Right. I heard Mr. Brennan say the same thing. I don't know that that's actually what's going to happen. And this lends itself to sort of a theatrical presentation that's completely unnecessary and could be incredibly objectionable. And then once it's done, it's done.
All right. I will consider it.
There'll be no inflection. That would be inappropriate.
Thank you. All right. Defendant's motion for specific discovery, paper 638, Jimmy. All right. Who's arguing it?
The specific discovery? Yes, that's me, Judge.
Good morning. So before court today, Mr. Brennan and I conferred, and I think we've largely reached agreement. The only numbered items on which we do not agree are 3 and 4, which are related. I will say, as a preface, that we are withdrawing request number 8. And with regard to request number 7, we've agreed on the following language, Judge, which I would read into the record. Number 7 would be any indication of a witness willing to change testimony in exchange for any consideration. So with that, I would ask the court to allow the motion. With regard to 3 and 4, I believe that we should receive information if there's a witness who has expressed to the Commonwealth either a refusal or a reluctance to testify in this matter or to cooperate in any way.
Okay. There's no authority for that in Rule 14, correct?
We believe that it's consistent with Rule 14, which is why we've made the request.
Okay. Where in Rule 14 are the reporter's notes?
Relevant and discoverable. It applies to a witness's credibility, motives, intent, and that's the basis on which we make the request.
Okay. I'll hear from the Commonwealth.
Number 5? Yes. With regard to number 5, we also talked about modifying the language. Mr. Brennan had taken it down for us. Any information any witness regarding promises, inducements, or rewards to that witness.
Okay. Mr. Brennan, regarding 3 and 4, what's the Commonwealth's position?
Your Honor, that does not go to motive or credibility. It is not within Rule 14, should not be discoverable. It's irrelevant. It doesn't show any bias on behalf of the witness if they had any reluctance or concerns about testifying. I have been very broad in my agreements regarding discovery. Anything that is Rule 14, exculpatory, even their specific requests, which extend beyond Rule 14, I am more than happy to give them, but I think 3 and 4 are personal, irrelevant, and have nothing to do with bias or credibility.
Okay. Thank you. All right. The ARCA witnesses. Motions regarding that. So where do you stand, Mr. Brennan, with what has been provided and what you might think has not been provided?
There are two issues. There is the discovery that we have requested in the past. At this point, I stand unsatisfied with that discovery production. And then secondly, there is the limitations that should be imposed upon ARCA based on what has been provided pursuant to reciprocal discovery. I'd like to start with the second part, and that is we have a little chronology. December 5th, 2024, we submitted Docket 442, Commonwealth's motion for reciprocal discovery, which was allowed by the court. There were a number of other motions, which led to March 27, 2025, Docket 640, Commonwealth's motion to compel reciprocal discovery of ARCA witnesses or to exclude their testimony. And then the next day, on March 28, 2025, the defense responded with Docket 642, which was a response to Docket 442. And so what we were looking for, not only Rule 14, but more specifically our discovery motion, was information from ARCA that would make clear the relationship between the ARCA witnesses and the defense back from its inception. It is important because that information, a thorough vetting of the information, may be a basis for the Commonwealth to inquire of these ARCA witnesses, if they're called, about candor, truthfulness, and full disclosure. And so while we've received some answers to our questions, we want a full vetting of that history. On a prior date, the court suggested that perhaps we could have a voir dire, not regarding their qualifications, but regarding this very issue about the relationship between the witnesses and the defense. That is one viable option. My concern specifically is if they are subject to a voir dire the day before their testimony, they're traveling from out of state, and they will not have with them documents and other items which are necessary for the Commonwealth's review and likely use during the examination. And so if the court was to maintain there would be a voir dire the day before the hearing, I would ask for an order from the court to order ARCA to bring the discovery that was ordered in the Commonwealth's discovery motion back on December 5th, 2024. The response by the defense, a large part of it is that it's not within their custody or control. And so these items, I expect, would be in the custody and control of these ARCA witnesses. There are a number of specific items which we sought in our discovery motions. Those items include communications, billing, emails, text messages, etc. And so those documents, if we do not obtain them in advance or the day before the witnesses are set to testify, we will never have an opportunity to send them home to get the materials that are relevant. So if the defense position is not in their custody and control, then I ask the court to order the ARCA witnesses to provide that information prior to the voir dire so that we can review it. Secondly, the defense has provided that they have retained the ARCA witnesses independently. We have received no new discovery other than communications and emails.
What is concerning is that in the notice from the defense, there is some suggestion about the ARCA witnesses potentially rebutting or commenting on Mr. Welch's testimony. Discovery deadlines have passed some time ago. It would be inappropriate at this point to have any new opinions, any new information, any new reports. We have been steadfast from the beginning of this case, early on, about discovery deadlines. And so my expectation is if the ARCA witnesses testify, they would be required to testify pursuant to the February 12, 2024 report, and they would not be able to provide any further opinions, any further ideas, or any further reports. So the two things, to simplify it, that I'm looking for is for the court to have that voir dire, again for a limited purpose, to order ARCA witnesses to comply with the discovery order that the court has already imposed, and to have ARCA limited to the discovery that was properly provided before the discovery deadlines. Those are my three requests.
I want to go in reverse order briefly, if I could. Okay. Concerning the discovery deadlines, we have continued to receive new discovery, new notices of discovery from the Commonwealth well after the same deadlines that Mr. Brennan is now bringing up concerning ARCA. They filed their notice of completion or certificate of completion long ago, and we have consistently received new information from their experts, new reports, amended reports, redacted reports, additional information. Both sides understand that discovery is an ongoing situation, sometimes out of our control. To that point, on March 26, 2025, we received for the first time official notice from the United States Attorney's Office and the Department of Justice that we could, we, the defense, or either side, the Commonwealth as well, were free to engage ARCA directly as expert witnesses in this case. On that same day, we contacted the Commonwealth. Actually, the very next day, we contacted the Commonwealth and provided them information that we would be and had engaged them. We've provided the engagement agreement. We've provided them with all discovery that we have appropriate thereto. And insofar as, or to the extent that any additional testing and or analysis is completed by those experts, because keep in mind, it's only been, I mean, we can count it in days that we've actually been able to engage them. If there is in fact additional testing and or analysis that is noteworthy, then we will, or that we intend to use, we will obviously provide that to the Commonwealth forthwith, which we indicated in our moving papers. We will maintain that posture throughout. And if there is additional information to be disclosed, it will be disclosed. It will be disclosed in a timely manner. We do not have anything as yet as we stand here today, but we...
What do you think a timely manner is? What ballpark are you talking?
When I get a report, I will turn it over the same day. If I get a report, I will turn it over the same day. If I get a new analysis, I will turn it over the same day. If we get new testing results, we will turn those over the same day that we get them. In other words, I can't control the conduct of the experts. They may or may not be engaging in additional testing or analysis, but if they are, once they get it, we'll turn it over. So that's all I can say to that. We're not holding anything back. We're not hiding anything. We're, you know, as soon as we get something, if we get it, to the extent that there is additional analysis or testing done, that will be turned over forthwith. With regard to docket number 642, we did, Your Honor, I don't want to waste the court's time. We did respond in detail to every single one of the 12 requests that the Commonwealth has made. I'm happy to go through those if the court wishes me to, but...
Hold on one second. Mr. Brennan, are there specifics that you say are still outstanding of the 13 or however many points there were? Because this is on what you filed. So this is not unusual. A party says we asked for all 13. Another party says we gave them to you. And then the party says, I don't have them. Can we narrow this? Is there anything specifically that Mr. Jackson should address?
Yes. Their response is that it's not in their custody or control.
So for which ones? Which of your numbers?
Number one, a complete statement of all opinions to be expressed by Daniel Wolfe.
Okay.
And their response is the information in the possession, custody, and control of the defense has already been produced. That obviously understates the fact that they would hope to have new opinions. That is the very point, that this is not responsive. Their discovery deadline has passed. And so I would like to talk about or respond after Attorney Jackson is done about what is going to evolve from this conversation. This is exactly what I was worried about back in November, what I expected might happen and should not have happened. So it's difficult now to parse the different pieces of my discovery request, but we do not have all the billing, all the communications, all the text messages, all the emails between the parties. And if the defense's position is not in their custody and control, well, it's certainly in the custody and control of ARCA. We do not have all prior reports, all prior testing, all field testing, photographs, pictures. We don't even know who was what part of this report.
Okay.
And so my tolerance about this ongoing development of discovery is a extraordinary problem for me. This is the number one issue I anticipated and that I've tried to prevent.
Okay. So address number one, Mr. Jackson.
The number one issue that Mr. Brennan has anticipated and tried to prevent is ARCA testifying. Let's just call it like it is.
So address number one, please. Okay.
I am. That's what I'm doing, Your Honor. We have provided on April 12th about 1,000 pages, additional pages, responsive to the request specific to ARCA. The response that we provided to request number one is as follows. The information in the possession, custody, and control of the defense has already been produced and can be found in the ARCA report, the voir dire testimony, and the trial testimony of Dr. Wolf and Dr. Rentschler. That is specifically in response to request number one. What we have, they have. Mr. Brennan constantly stands up and says, we don't have all the emails, we don't have all the communications, et cetera. They have everything. We've already turned that over. There is nothing that we have not turned over that's in our possession. With regard to the new information that Mr. Brennan says, this is exactly what I was worried about, et cetera, we could not engage these experts until we got permission from the Department of Justice. The federal government had to give us permission. They gave both sides permission on March 26th, 2025. We immediately, Your Honor, as best we could, leapt into action to contact ARCA and engage them formally so that they could act as experts for the defense in this case in furtherance of potential testimony moving forward. We do not have additional testing results. We do not have additional analysis. We do not have additional reports or findings as yet because it's only been a few days. If we get those, we will turn those over immediately. And that's all we can be expected to do. If the court wishes to go through the others, it's listed as 13, but there's actually 12 requests. I'm happy to do that. If the court's satisfied with...
I have a question. It was my question last time when they testified. It wasn't clear to me who did what each witness did regarding testing, preparation, things that are normal cross-examination. Is that clarified any better? They said we. They talked about we did this, we did that.
Well, I would disagree with that. Dr. Rentschler talked about what he did, which was more on the... on the biological side.
There was a difference between
them. And Dr. Wolf talked about what he did on the mechanical side. They did discuss what their individual or their specific capacity was and their expertise. We have not received any additional report to that effect. Everything that is in the report is exactly what the Commonwealth received at the same time that the defense received it. And it's exactly what they testified to both in the voir dire and in the trial. There's no clarification that we haven't asked for clarification. If there is clarification in any new analyses, that will be turned over immediately as well.
But, is there anything that they're going to say they cannot provide because of the federal investigation?
Not to my knowledge. I don't know. I haven't asked them if there's communications that Mr. Brennan is asking for that they can't provide. I haven't asked them that because I've not deigned to.
Can we consult with counsel just for a moment?
Sure.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Extra Value Meals are back. That means 10 tender, juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.